Christina. I've been going to Academy Christian Church for about a year and a half. I'm married to my husband, Josh, for almost 13 years. And we have four kiddos. We have an 8-year-old. We have a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and I just had a baby 7 months ago. My last two babies were actually born 2 years apart to the day, so we sang him happy birthday basically in the morning before we headed off to the hospital to have his little brother. And theirs is actually the tightest age gap of all my kids, and it's been the hardest. Four has been the biggest transition of all the kids. We're in the thick of it with things, with having the two little ones especially. The older brothers are awesome, but it's a lot to have all four of them at once. But I feel like the theme of the last 7 months since we had the baby has been grace will be there, which is something I've heard before. I didn't coin it, but it's proven to be really true. And just like the Bible verse that says, you know, tomorrow has its own worries. When I had one kiddo, I didn't yet have the grace for all four of them. And same as the day before the fourth baby was born, I didn't have the grace, but God, you know, he provided the grace right when we needed it. So my husband's job has actually been wonderful. They provided several weeks of paternity leave this time around, and I was glad to have them home for as long as we did. I felt like we really needed it. But the last couple weeks, I was anxious about him going back to work. Like, how am I gonna handle, especially the two little ones, during the day? And by the grace of God, right the week when my husband went back to work, the toddler started to find his groove a little bit more. And I figured out how to hold a baby while I was rocking the 2-year-old to get him down for his nap. And all these little things, you know, God provided. I had the grace of God to manage these little ones and the older two as well. But my kids are also really gracious with me because I get frustrated and impatient, and I'm not careful with my words a lot of times. And we've been practicing memorizing the fruit of the Spirit since my oldest was 1 year old. And so they can call me out on a lot of things if they wanted to. Over the years, I've gotten better about apologizing to them. It's not always easy to remember in the moment how gracious God has been to me, but he has been, and I'm doing better about sharing that grace to them as well. When I say goodnight to my kids and my husband goes and puts them to bed, I tell them, I love you and Jesus loves you even more, because I want them to remember that, you know, I have failings and I'm not perfect, but I'm pointing them to a God who is perfect. And more than having the best mom or the perfect parent, I want them to look to him, because he is perfect in all that we need. I want to be an example of a loving God, but more than that, I want them to know that he isn't like us. God is perfect and won't ever fail them. And I want them to always look to him for fulfilling all their needs. Thanks for letting me share, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. Moms do a great job, and we want to welcome our moms that are here today, whether you're here in the room or joining us online, or everybody that's here today. And I really hope that you're not going to be offended, that I'm not going to talk about being unoffendable today. But it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. And God actually created moms to play a significant role in the life of every single human being. Motherhood really is nothing short of miraculous. Because think about it, from the beginning, God created the womb of a woman to be the place where a brand new, unique person could be first conceived and then formed from the chromosomes of the father and mother, and be able to develop to the place where that life could actually be sustained outside the womb, to grow and develop really from a tiny, vulnerable infant to a full-grown adult. And folks, that honestly is a miracle. Sometimes we forget about that. I don't care what you say, there's not enough millions and billions of years to make it possible by any evolutionary process. It could only be by divine design. I mean, think about how we're made. We have this skeletal structure capable of enlarging. Two sets of teeth pre-planned, one for our pre-K days and the other to take us into adulthood. Skin that stretches to size along with muscles that develop, including the ones in the heart that never take a break your whole life except for more than a moment between beats. And then we're given this super computer brain that grows and develops to fill the skull allotted, hair and fingernails that regenerate appropriately. It's amazing. And that's really just the tip of the iceberg. And so we want to honor moms because they're the ones where all that actually takes place. And then they take care of us after that. And so if you're sitting by a mom today, your mom or a mom, what I want you to do right now is turn and give them a hug. And the rest of us, we're going to give our moms a hand today. Thank you, moms. Yes. Yes, that is awesome. We'd also like to find out a little bit about some of the moms that are here. We'd like to be able to discover today the oldest mom that is here. Now, the oldest mom that was at our first service was, I think, 93. Okay, so let's start out. Anybody? No, okay, we're going to start at 70. Any moms that are 70 here today? And you'd probably be a grandma by then. How about 80? Got any 80-year-old grandmothers here today? Okay, there's a couple of 80s. 85? So anyway, let's give the 80 ladies, grandma's a hand. That's awesome. That's true. Yeah. Now, how about let's find out the mom that has the most kids. And it doesn't matter if you only have one, that you're still a mom, but more is just more work, right? And so if you have one, two, or three, or four, so how many just have one kid? Any moms with one kid? Okay, a few of those. Way to go. How many moms with at least two kids? Two kids. I got two kids. More two kids. How about three kids? Whoa, lots with three kids. How about four kids? Wow, there's some fours. Any with five kids? Okay, wow, this is the most with that. Six kids? There's still hands up. Seven kids? Whoa, Amy, let's give Amy a hand. Anybody over six probably needs some applause today. Pat on the back for that, too. And then last service, I actually missed this one, and someone kind of pointed out, do we have any adoptive parents here today? Any parents that have adopted kids? You raise your hands. Hey, if you've adopted, let's give them a hand, because wow, that is an incredible gift to actually parent somebody who's not your child. And while we're talking about moms, and this is not for comparison at all, ladies, please, please. But I heard about this Russian woman named Valentina Vasilyeva, who reportedly gave birth to, and I'm glad you're sitting down, 69 children. And don't worry, she was not pregnant 69 times. Between the years of 1725, apparently, and 1765, she did give birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets, for a total of 29 pregnancies. Man, think about that. And I heard that 67 of the 69 children were said to have survived infancy, and so that's an amazing thing. But I want to also make sure we acknowledge today we have all sorts of different maternal experiences going on here today. Some of you here had great moms, great relationships with them. Others might be here today and just not so great moms or relationships with them. There's probably some today that are grieving the loss of their mom. For my wife, Diane, this is her first Mother's Day without her mom. And not to mention, there's a lot here who may be grieving the fact that they either can't or might not be able to be moms. And so we just really need to be sensitive to that. But we do need to talk today about motherhood, or we could say parenting. And I really want to call it the privilege and really the responsibility. And I've got to point out before we get to the responsibility, the incredible privilege that it is to be a parent. And actually, the psalmist writes about this in Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are actually a reward from Him. And like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children who are born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, in case you're wondering how to determine when your quiver is full, a good friend of mine said, hey, you know your quiver's full when the thought of another child makes you quiver. Then your quiver is probably getting kind of full. But that's this whole thing, this privilege. Amazingly, God entrusts each newly designed, one-of-a-kind masterpiece of His creation to a unique set of really underprepared parents. See, I don't think you can even realize how underprepared you truly are until you have Kids. Amen. In fact, I think what Jess Lair says is so true. Children are not things to be molded, but people to be unfolded. And that's really where the challenge is being able to unfold kids appropriately. Now, while we're talking about the privilege, I do have to mention the reality of the parenting privilege. And that is that, let's just be honest, there are no perfect parents. No perfect parents. And even the ones who we might think are really good, because from a distance we look at them, but we're likely only seeing the highlight reel and not so much the behind the scenes. And I had a great example of that this last year around Thanksgiving. I was going through Facebook and I saw this family sitting around this Thanksgiving dinner table, and it just looked like the picture perfect family. Everything was beautiful. And then I noticed just even a few hours later, there's another post from this very same person asking for prayer because of some serious family conflicts going on. Now, when I was much younger, I got to say, I was also much bolder about preaching on topics, you know, like parenting and marriage. And that's because, you know, you do know, don't you, that I used to be an expert on raising children. I used to be an expert, and then I had kids. And I was not nearly the expert that I thought I was. I think Matt Walsh said it well. Parenting is the easiest thing in the world to have an opinion about, but it's the hardest thing in the world to do. And what I've come to realize the older I get, the more I recognize how much I actually don't know. Early on in ministry, I got to be honest, before we had kids, I would preach messages from the pulpit with titles like 7 Surefire Ways to Raise Well-Behaved, Godly Children. Of course, after we had a couple of children of our own, my tone changed just a little bit and was more likely to preach a message with the title like 5 Biblical Principles for a Christian Family. And then by the time we had 3 children and we were well into our school experience, it was more like 3 suggestions for a healthy family. To the point that when we got to have teenagers, the titles were just good luck with parenting. That's about all it is. In fact, you know, I recently, if you have teenagers at home, I recently read that that when your children are teenagers, it's extremely helpful to have a dog at home, because then at least someone in the house is happy to see you, right? So if you don't have a dog, you might want to get one. Well, parenting always has and always will provide its unique challenges. And that's because no child comes with their own personal instruction guide. And that's because, as I already said, they're each one-of-a-kind masterpiece creation, never to be replicated again. Which is why parenting is so hard, and why every parent needs to become a student of parenting skills, as well as a student of their child, while making sure they're learning clear biblical principles and learning from the godly wisdom of others, combined with just experience gained from trial and error. And I think what most people discover, Jill Churchill said it well. She said, there's no really way to be a perfect mother, but there's a million ways to be a good mother. And so that's one of the reasons why at the bottom of your sermon notes, I've provided some faith-based parenting resources that you could read, should read if you need to. There's even a couple in there for grandparents, because grandparents can really add to that. And I would just want to go back. You've heard that old adage, the very best time to plant a tree is actually 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is actually today. And so if you're struggling, there are resources available. Learn as much as you can from this day forward. And while there are no perfect parents, obviously there are no perfect children. And let me just say, this is not about shame or condemnation. When we get to this, it's so important to recognize, because I have seen seemingly irresponsible parents produce some amazingly wonderful children. While I've also seen capable, devoted parents produce some very difficult children. Now, how is that? Well, get it. Every single person gets to decide what they're going to do with what they've been given. And I don't know why it is, but for some reason, some kids make excellent choices, while others, not so much. Just a week ago when we were having our men's breakfast, I was sitting across the table from an individual who was just sharing about their family history. And they grew up, he said, with a very angry father who was angry about everything. And he said, you know, I looked at that and I said, I'm making the decision to parent my children differently and to break that chain and to do it differently. It really is, folks, simply about being responsible for what we have control over, which is what? It's ourselves. And so parenting is a great privilege, but parenting is also a responsibility. And so we're going to take a look at that now. And we're actually going to read through the verses that were shared during that baby dedication from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And God was giving instructions to the nation of Israel how they could grow and develop healthy families. And here's what he said in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this was actually what was called the Shema. And every Hebrew family every day would go over these verses in their mind. Because here's what it said. You have got to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today, they're to be upon your hearts because you love me and you want to know that. And so I would just say today, whether you're a parent here today or not, that is the most important instruction God has given to any of his followers. We would do well to hear that and make that our own reality. But for parents or grandparents or even aunts and uncles, we can go on. And here's what they were to do. Impress them on your children. Be intentional. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk alongside the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, infuse it into your everyday life. And then he goes on and says, actually tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And we have time today really just to look at two significant principles from this passage of Scripture. And the first principle reminds us why we need to really be careful about what we say and do, because there are little eyes that are watching and little ears that are listening to it all. There was a mom who had worked extra hard preparing a meal for a family from church who were actually coming over for dinner. And it had been a challenge getting everything ready and done. And when they were finally able to sit down at the table that day, the mom asked her little 5-year-old daughter to say the blessing. Well, the little girl was shy and she told her mom that she didn't know what to say. And so her mom said, well, why don't, honey, you just repeat what you've heard mommy say? And so the little girl bowed her head and prayed, "Oh Lord, why on earth did I invite these people over for dinner? Amen." They're watching, right? And that's why I think Andy Smithson said it well. He said, "The sign of great parenting is not the child's behavior. The sign of truly great parenting is the parent's behavior." And so let's go ahead and jump in. Dads, this isn't just to moms. You're welcome to listen in as well. The first principle that's really shared here is, and now in the New Testament, you need to become the Christ follower that you would like your children to become. See, as your children, as they observe your life, does your faith appear to be either very high or the highest priority of your life, or is it just another add-on to everything else you do? God was saying, hey, when you're going to be parents, you need to love God with all of your heart and soul and strength. And the reason for that is because what you know and what you do can be two very different things. See, the truth is most of us are educated well above the level of our obedience. There's more that we know but maybe haven't surrendered. And we need to make sure we close the gap. We're always closing the gap between what we know and how we live. And Robert Fulghum said it well. He said, "Don't worry that your children never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you." And the reason that's so important is you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. That's what's going to show up in your kids. You can't lead your kids to where you haven't been. And it's that old adage that's not just true for pastors. You need to make sure you practice what you preach. And I just always remember back when I was pastoring a church in Iowa, that back in the 60s and 70s was a pretty large church in a small community, had a big impact, a strong Sunday school, lots of kids were there, and that was back when they were giving out perfect attendance pins, so all the kids made sure they were there and the parents made sure they were there. But I got there in the late 1980s. And it had dwindled a little bit, but there were still a number of children that were fairly active. And the reason for that was is because their parents, who had been a part of it earlier, they every Sunday would drive by and drop their kids off and send them to Sunday school, and they'd go out for coffee. And what I discovered pretty quickly is that children who were dropped off by their parents usually dropped out as soon as they had the chance. Because folks, you know what? That kind of hypocrisy will be obvious to your children because they will see right through it. And David Bly, he said it well, your children will become who you are, so be who you want them to be. And so that's what we need to do as parents, try to become the people that we want our children to become. The second thing, the second principle here is to be intentional about providing guided spiritual direction for your children. Now, I believe that most parents here want their children to live meaningful, purposeful, and productive lives. And so we often work hard to set them up for earthly success, when it's really important that we set them up for spiritual success. Mark 8:35 says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" Parents got to ask themselves that. And that's why in Deuteronomy 6:7, it says that, hey, parents, you've got to impress these teachings, these commandments on your children. There's other translations that actually read, teach these things diligently to your children. And one of the reasons I hope you would be motivated to do that, because you understand and trust that everything God commands us to do or not to do is actually for our own benefit or protection, even if it isn't always the easiest or the most fun. Now, what I'm grateful for is that I had parents who were intentional. They made sure I got exposed to godly teaching not only at home, but also regularly at church. Back when I was little, we went to church, you know, on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. We went to conferences and camps and vacation Bible school. They were intentional about getting that in front of us. And there are two important aspects of this intentionality. The first one, of course, is that application is crucial. And application is just putting God's truth to work in your life. And we know we're supposed to do that. James chapter 1 said, hey, don't just listen to the word. And you're kind of deceiving yourselves. You've got to do what it says. And so I would just encourage you as parents, make sure that your faith shows up in your daily life. If it never does, your children will never learn from you what an integrated faith looks like. So intertwine your faith with your daily life. The admonition in Deuteronomy was, hey, talk about these things when you're sitting at home. And when you walk alongside the road, we could call it driving in the car now. When you go to bed at night and when you get up in the morning. And if your kids only see you at church on Sunday morning and that's all there is, it's going to just look like an add-on to your life rather than something that is central to your life. And then, of course, you got to remember that repetition is the motor of learning. If you've not heard me say that before, it bears saying again, right? That repetition is the motor of learning. And that's in verses 8 and 9. It says, hey, these commands, make sure they're visible. Tie them as symbols on your hands and on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What it's saying is make sure your children are having repeat exposure to the truth that is vital for their lives. And it's so important because what gets repeated and modeled the most often gets replicated in young people's lives. And I'm just glad today we get to conclude with one more mom, Tammy, sharing her story. And she's got some great things to share.
Hi, I'm Tammy Good, and I am a mom. I have 4 amazing children, 3 daughters and 1 son. And I also have 4 bonus kids, 3 sons and 1 daughter. And then I've got 8 incredible grandchildren, 4 grandsons and 4 granddaughters. And I'm blessed because they all live here in Colorado Springs within 5 minutes of me. So I get the opportunity to be very involved in their lives, which is a huge blessing. Motherhood has been a dream and a lifelong mission for me. And like in any other mission field, there are highs and lows, good and bad, sad times, happy times. It's all part of the mission. Being a mom is exciting, exhilarating, exhausting and sacrificial. There's no way that you can face motherhood without experiencing all of those emotions. There's one thing that I want to show you. And I have a jar here. It's got pennies in it. It has exactly 936 pennies in this jar. And you're probably wondering, why in the world am I showing you a jar with pennies in it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because each penny represents 1 week. And there are exactly 936 weeks from the time your child is born until they turn 18. Let that sink in for just a minute. 936 weeks to disciple your children's hearts and souls for the Lord. For me, one of the most powerful tools was the power of prayer. I spent days and hours and just constant in prayer, and I would encourage you to find the time to do that. I know you're thinking, I have a 3-year-old and a 3-week-old. When in the world am I going to find time to pray? Constantly. From the moment your eyes open in the morning until they close at night, just keep that avenue of prayer open for our God. The times that you are cleaning the floors, when you're rocking your baby, when you're making the meals, when you're in the endless carpool line, these are perfect times to just be in thought with our Lord. It's a perfect time to just take a deep breath and realize that God is with you in all of this. Enjoy every moment. That's a tagline that you often see in cards written to new parents, probably one that I'm guilty of writing myself. Where it's true, we should try and enjoy every moment. There are times where it's tough. When your 3-year-old is in your bedroom again for the 6th time tonight, when your 2-year-old is throwing a temper tantrum at Target, when your 15-year-old is convinced she knows more about life than you do, those are the hard times to find joy in the moments. But I encourage you to look, because they are there. Often in these moments, we are finding things about ourselves that we don't like, and it's a good opportunity to just stop, take a breath, and reflect on what is going on. What is it that your child needs exactly at that moment, and how can you provide it? There are times where we need to discipline, when we need to correct the behavior that is being done. Sometimes that's at Target. And I just encourage you to take those moments and make sure that you are addressing the child's needs. It's so easy to get wrapped up in our identity and what people are thinking about us, but that's not what's important. What's important is what that child needs at that moment in time. Again, that lifeline, that prayer line is open. Ask God for his guidance right then and right there, and you'll find that you get exactly what you need. Seek wisdom and guidance when you're facing a situation you just don't know how to handle. Read lots of parenting books. Those are valuable as well. Just make sure that the Bible is your one source, and then supplement it with the others. Motherhood truly is a godly mission. And as you walk through the 936 weeks and beyond, I just pray that you have the strength and the courage to be the mother that your babies need. But God fully knows where he's placed you. And I just encourage you to lean on him, lean in the space that he's giving you. Look for ways to be a nanny, an aunt, a mommy's helper. And be patient with God, because his plan is perfect for you. There's one thing I just want to close with, and that is, God loves you more than anything. He loves your children more than anything. And don't ever forget that.
Those thoughts are gold. And I think sometimes parenting just seems overwhelming. Probably the hardest job in the world. You know why it is sometimes the hardest job in the world? Because it's the most important job in the world. We're actually preparing the next generation who are coming, and we got a great responsibility to do that. I'm so thankful we have a church that has a great children and students ministry that wants to partner with parents to create Christ followers as a resource. And so any way that we can help with that, we would just encourage you to take advantage of. But try to find a way to influence especially your children, but any kids, if you have that opportunity this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over the moms that are here, and then we'll dismiss for the day, hopefully to some good ways to show love for mom. But as you're leaving today, for every woman who's here today, we have a carnation that we'd like to give, and just to honor women today, and motherhood and all that. And so let me pray, and then we'll close. Father, your design of creation is just beyond comprehension. The way you designed a mother's womb to carry a brand new life, to develop it until it can live outside the body and then grow and develop into the human beings that we're all looking at every day. And I want to especially pray for the moms that are in this room today and who are in the thick of it, like with Christina, with four young boys that she's taken care of, and many others who have challenging situations and circumstances. Pray that you would provide them your wisdom, your grace, your energy, your long-sufferingness. Pray that there'd be partnership from their spouses. Pray for grandparents that are here. And just pray for so many in our church that every Sunday they pour into kids in our children's ministry and our student ministry. And we're just thankful, God, for the incredible plan you have. We know that it's going to be sometimes an uphill battle, but the work, the effort will be worth it as we love the next generation towards you. So help us to be faithful. And pray that moms today would find the love and support and encouragement that they might need. And we offer all of this to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.